What is up, Daddy Gang? It is your founding father, Alex Cooper, with Call Her Daddy.
Dr. Emily Moores, welcome back to Call Her Daddy.
So excited to be here.
Today, I was like, who is going to be the right person to sit in this seat and help my listeners and my viewers understand how to have an orgasm, how to enjoy masturbating, how to enjoy sex toys in a way that's not intimidating. How many episodes have you done on how to have an orgasm in your life?
Oh my God. I mean, I've been doing this for almost 20 years. I would say hundreds.
Okay. And still,
hundreds.
Women have a hard time orgasming. And I think what happens sometimes is when you listen to a podcast, you're going to watch this episode. I really want Daddy Gang you to be really like tuned in, and even if you have to like listen to this alone so you can really absorb what we're saying, because I think sometimes you listen, you're like, oh, that sounds great, I want to try that. But then do you actually try it? Do you actually like implement what we're saying? So today, maybe you listen to this in your bedroom. Mm-hmm. Maybe you dim the lights. And
take a few minutes.
Take a few minutes.
Lock the door.
Okay?
Take a few
maybe
deep
don't
breaths.
Listen to this at work, or listen to it at work, but then rush home.
Yeah, you need it. Exactly. And wait to listen a few times.
It's great. So to give you everyone that does not know, Emily, you are a sexologist, a podcast host, and we are here, Emily, to ask you questions of all things sex, right? So recently I did a poll on an episode and I asked who has a vibrator, and 30% of people said that they do not own a vibrator.
Okay.
That today we're gonna buy vibrators, right?
I understand. Yeah.
Do you think every single person should own a vibrator?
Absolutely. I mean, yeah. I don't. Here's the thing about vibrators, Dave. There's such a stigma around vibrators. I think that there's this notion that if you have to use a vibrator, it's a crutch, or my orgasm didn't count. I'm talking about vulva owners, right? If you have a vulva, which is the external part of your vagina, as I call them on my show. Because it's like, you don't know about gender, you can just say vulva, right? And if you have a penis, you're like, I should be able to make you orgasm with my penis alone. And if you have to use something, then there is a problem. This was a mistake. There's something wrong with you. Or ultimately, guys were thinking, oh, there's something wrong with my penis. So I didn't make you orgasm. And that vibrators seem like there's somehow like a weakness. I believe that's still the stigma. And I think it's ridiculous. Only 20% of women, people with vulvas, are going to have an orgasm with anything at all that has to do with a penis. 20%. The only reason why that happens is because there's a lot of it. It's your anatomy. It's the way you are literally born, that if your clitoris is closer to your vaginal opening, you might be more likely to have an orgasm during penetration, where a penis goes in your vagina. But most people with a vagina are going to orgasm from three things. A mouth, fingers, or a toy.
Where's the penis? On the list.
We love, and here's the thing, we love your penis. It feels so good inside of us. We love to touch it. We even love to lick it. We love get blowjobs. It's all wonderful. But there's been misinformation, mm-hmm. and we're here to correct it. We're here to correct it, that there's nothing wrong with it. You're not broken. I mean, I started my career because I was faking orgasms for the first like 10 through my 20s, my 30s, half my 30s, faking them. Because I was like, oh, well, if I watch porn, they're orgasming in like 3 to 5 minutes. The penis went into the vagina and she had an explosive orgasm. They rolled over. They like watched TV or ordered pizza and the sex was over. And I thought something was wrong with me because I couldn't orgasm during penetration. So I came to find out there was a lot of ways to do that. But it took me like saying like, I don't need anyone in the room right now. I need to focus on myself. I need to learn to prioritize my pleasure.
This episode is presented by Sparkling Ice. Turn up summer with Sparkling Ice. They have over 17 anything but subtle flavors, all made with zero sugar and packed with vitamins and antioxidants. Iced tea and lemonade, strawberry watermelon, tropical punch, peach nectarine. Yum. Crank up the flavor. Sparkling Ice. Anything but subtle. This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Some things work so well. It's basically magic. Like my favorite highlighters that I'm like, wow, how did you all of a sudden make me look glowing? And you know what else really works, Dottie Gang? Shopify. It is a global commerce platform that helps you sell. I've seen a big difference in my online merch sales. They are especially good at turning browsers into buyers. I can see someone that's been on the site but didn't check out, or someone that checked out and then is revisiting the site. Like, if you want to grow your business, Daddy Gang, sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/unwell, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/unwell. I want to know from your experience, why do you think some people are so intimidated by masturbating alone?
I think that it's our culture. I think there's a lot of shame around masturbation. I think that mostly it is stress, it is trauma, and it's shame. Like, those are what I call the pleasure thieves. These are all the things in our life that keep us from pleasure. We never see women masturbating. Like, all the culture we had growing up, right? Like, American Pie, like, he's going to take his dick and stick into a pie. And, like, masturbation is like men do it. And it's something that men do, and it's always kind of gross. And usually we're laughing at them because they were caught masturbating. And so, but it was always kind of accepted, or we knew guys were doing it. For women, I don't know about you, I never saw like an example of like a woman masturbating and being celebrated. So that's one thing. That's the cultural part. We don't see it. The second part is that a lot of us grew up in homes where it was shamed at a point where we might not even remember. There's like an early infraction. Like, maybe we were even like 3 years old and we were like, maybe we were like doing something. We were like, had our hand in our pants and somebody came by and was like, don't do that. That's wrong. That could have been your grandmother. It could have been your parent because they were embarrassed. The neighbors were over and you had your hand on your pants, but you were three. So in that moment, you were completely shamed. And so for the rest of your life, you're like, well, touching myself is wrong.
We all have sexual needs. Masturbating is healthy.
It's sort of a cornerstone of being sexually healthy and then being healthy overall. I don't want to like ignore the population of women who did have an orgasm humping their pillow, in the shower, riding a horse when they were like six or seven or three. There's a lot of stories like that. They're like, but I had an orgasm. And so that did happen for them. But that might have been seen as masturbation, but they didn't know what to do with it. Maybe their parents told them to stop, or they just felt bad about it. It felt so good, but they felt bad because no one said to them, yay, wasn't right. That good? So that's also another part of it.
You brought some tools to help the Daddy Gang. There's hopefully millions of people are going to listen to this and be like leaving here feeling way more confident. What's over there? What's in the bag?
I bought you a bag. It was a special care package because...
Oh, she's got a whole ass trunk. Okay.
Okay. This is like from almost 20 years of like doing this work where I was like, I know that we're breaking it down and we have to come with the kit.
There's a vulva I can see happening over here. Well,
because we have to start with the vulva puppet. Okay? Because we said that most women do not ever look at their vulva. They don't, like, I believe if there was like a lineup and you had like 100 vulvas on the wall, like, could you pick yours out of a lineup? Could you be like, that's mine? We've talked about this. I don't think so. I don't think penis owners could either. I used to say to guys too, when they were like, oh, because we don't want to look because we're disconnected and it's shameful. So the other reason why we don't have orgasms often or we don't enjoy sex as much is because we walk around in life. Maybe we feel sexy, right, in certain ways. But then when it comes in the bedroom, we're like, I am completely disconnected from this part of my body and I've never even actually looked at it and I don't even know how it operates. And maybe I even hate it because I heard that my labias are weird or whatever it is.
Yep. So first of all, I think this is actually, we're going to get super basic here.
Yeah, let's do it.
And I definitely need to correct myself at times. A lot of times we're just saying the vagina,
yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. The vagina is the internal part. Can you explain the vulva?
Actually, where most of the magic happens, because, you know, earlier I was saying that during penetration, that's not where you're going to have an orgasm. You might have an orgasm that way if you have a lot of clitoral stimulation. So this puppet is full on. So this is the vulva, which is where the magic is happening. So they often say that the vulva, and for years we've been saying this as sex educators, that there's 8,000 nerve endings in the clitoris. We have 8,000 nerve endings, and the circumcised penis has 4,000. Well, came to find out literally 3 weeks ago that there might be 10,000. So we are walking around with these body parts that have so much pleasure. And the only reason the clitoris exists, the only reason, is for pleasure. But we've never celebrated. We've never talked about it. And this is what I want you all to know. This is the labia. The labia also have a lot of sensitivity of it. But let's just start with the clitoris, this magic button. And we often think like, wow, there's 8,000 to 10,000 nerve endings. And yeah, there are. However, it has legs. So there's an internal part. So there's the, so behind the labia, it kind of looks like a wishbone. There's an internal structure of the clitoris that has legs. So there's the top of the clitoris, it's like a wishbone. So going on behind here, the labia, what I'm saying is people should be watching this. There's a 8,000 nerve endings that extend inside. So when you pay attention to the labia here, fingers, all of this, feel incredible. That's where a lot of the orgasms happen. That's where all the pleasure happens. Might look like this. It might look different. I want to remind everybody that your vagina, your vulva is like a snowflake and every single one of them is different. So any of this notion that your labia should be a certain, like 2 inches, 3 inches, like whatever certain color, some are pinkish, some are brownish, some don't even have a clitoral hood. So I just want to say that like when you get aroused though, if you do have a clitoral hood, it retracts.
Let's pretend someone is going to masturbate right now.
Okay.
Okay. And someone does not even know where to start. What sex toy should someone that's such a beginner, that's nervous, maybe they haven't even had sex, maybe they've had sex, but they're having a hard time in the bedroom. They want to start to masturbate alone. Where do we start, Emily?
Okay. Well, first, let me show you this. This is where you start.
Okay.
Lubricant. Okay. My dream, Alex Cooper, is a lube on every nightstand. Lube is the most underrated sexual condiment on the planet. So there have been studies that show when you add lube to any sexual situation, if you have a vulva and also if you have a penis, but mostly for vulva owners, you are 80% more likely to orgasm than without lube. Okay?
Let's pause there.
Let's just pause.
Daddy gang, if you are having a hard time orgasming, you just heard that your chances to orgasm will increase 80% if you use lube. Mm-hmm. And I can attest to that because when I hadn't had an orgasm by myself and I was trying to figure out how to use a vibrator, using a vibrator and like putting spit on it.
It's
not great. Okay. Mm. Lube. I almost like, it was like, I was like, holy shit. I need to like put, I'm like, about, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. I had a crazy experience once I started experiencing lube with my vibrator and it was 10 times better.
I'm so glad to hear this.
And something about, I think another thing about lube is shameful. I'm not wet enough.
Okay. The thing about wetness is that we can be really wet sometimes and really turned on, but sometimes we can be turned on and not wet at all. It changes day to day, week to week, month to month with our cycles. So if we're on a 28-day menstrual cycle, and this is different for everyone, but sometimes we're wet, sometimes we're not, it's not guaranteed. If you have a penis, you assume that she's wet, she's turned on. If she's not wet, there's something wrong with her, or worse yet, there's something wrong with me. My penis wasn't good enough for her. It was too small. It did something wrong. So we all have shame. And people, if they do have lube, they say, oh, let me get the lube from under the bed, like just in case there's an emergency. It's like, no, I'm saying like, put it on your nightstand.
Right.
Because it's also, here's the other thing. This is why you're going to have more orgasms with lube is because your clitoris is not self-lubricating. So if you, let's say you're even a little bit wet at the beginning, that's coming from your vagina, it's coming out of here, like, right? And then it gets up on here. It's not guaranteed that it's going to be enough, that's going to last long enough. So when we have no lube, when we're dry, like, because we're going to go back to masturbation, because if we just start dry touching ourselves, which we're going to walk us through it, it's, you need something slippery.
Yes.
Like, you just need it. And your spit is like, what was on your hands before? Did you wash it? Do you want saliva, the bacteria? So what happens is when you're dry with your anti-lube, then you start to get tears. So then somebody's going to, like, let's say you're having intercourse and you have no, it's dry. Then you start getting, like, that's when you get the micro tears. That's when you get bacterial infections. That's when you have UTIs. It's like, ugh, it's not fun. So this is like sunscreen when it's cloudy out. Like, okay. Always use it.
That's so helpful. Can you tell everyone listening, because there's still this stigma around, like, I'm not wet because I'm not turned on, so I need lube. How should someone say to their partner when they're, like, grabbing for the lube? Like, is there a line that we can say that makes it help a man understand? This has nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
This is me and my anatomy.
I put it in my hand, just a little few drops,
right?
Rub it together, and then I'll like grab their cock, right? Their dick. And then I'm like, then I start to touch them because I'm telling you, they want it wet too. So I just start to show, and they're like, they're never, like, zero penises have ever said, like, what are you doing? That's weird. They're just like watching me seductively put some of my hands and then grab, like, hold them. even if it's on their chest. So then I'm doing that. I'm putting it and I'm rubbing it. Yeah, I'm putting it on him. I'm grabbing him. I'm putting it on. Yeah, I'm always putting it on me. Because I mean, now my partner knows. Like, he's just he knows we will not. I have like little samples. I brought like little, like it's in my pocket. It's in my wallet. Like, we don't.
Emily's like, what, at dinner and she's like rubbing
her. No, I literally am. Like, if we're going to have sex in the car, I've got like little vials of lube all over my house. In every bag has lube. I've got lip gloss. I'm not kidding. I got lip gloss. I got my keys, my phone, and I've got lube.
If someone is masturbating for the first time, they're getting this lube. Mm-hmm. We're starting there. Yes. Okay. Once they buy the lube, what is the next step?
I think if you've never touched yourself, which again, I'm going to say that the majority of vulva owners, of women, probably haven't, or they did it briefly and they haven't really spent the time getting to know it. So I wouldn't even recommend it first, you starting with a toy. But I will show you what I like. But if you could just maybe take some time of just like, I just want to get curious and I want to breathe and I want to be mindful of what it actually feels like to touch myself. Because I used to think that a guy would roll in and he would know my body way better than I would. Like, they just somehow knew, like, he would know how to touch me and he would know what felt good. And then I used to lie and be like, does that feel good? I'm like, everything that you're doing feels good, because I didn't know what. So I had to take time. I had to, like, for me to become an expert in my own body and my own pleasure, I had to really be like, what do I like? So I would make time to masturbate. I'd sit down, I would set the mood, like, you're going on a date with yourself, take the bath, lock the door, make sure your roommates are gone, or if they're not gone, you're doing your own thing.
Yeah.
And then I would get into bed and you could be just like laying back, have your lube, and then just sort of, I love breathing and I just love like being mindful or playing some music that gets you in the mood. And you're just like getting curious and you're taking your hands and you're not going right for your clitoris. Because let me tell you this about this magic clitoral space in your body, is that while it has so much power and it feels so amazing, it's what's responsible for most of your orgasms, is that if you go right to it, like, which the problem is a lot of guys who do know, let's say you're with a guy, they go right for it. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't feel good until it's warmed up. So practice just teasing yourself during your masturbation session. You're going to take time. You're going to like tease your inner thighs. You're going to have a little bit of lube on your hand. You're just going to say, like, what does it feel like to sort of start moving my fingers up my thighs through my body, and then start moving and start touching your labia. And then you can start sort of your pubic mound too, which is right above the clitoris, which is like where your pubic hair is or isn't. Personal choice. That area too can feel really great just to tease around it. Because again, since the clitoris is all these nerve endings, it emanates out. So all the areas around it feel really great when touched as well. So just start to explore with fingers, light touches. You could do a tapping with your fingers, circular motions with the pad of your fingertips. You can stroke. Some people like faster, some like slower. So really just start to experiment, okay? And just see what touch feels good. And then pay attention to it. Because after doing this for a while, you'll realize like, oh, my left upper quadrant of my clitoris, once you it feels more sensitive than the right. So that's where you figure it out.
I also love that you're saying this, because I, when I first started masturbating, went right for a toy. And I regret it, because I will say to everyone watching and listening, I felt like, I remember the first time that it actually was not by choice, my vibrator was dead. And I was like, well, fuck. I
hate that.
And so I was like, I guess, like, I remember I had this conversation with my friend. We were both like, we never do it with our hands. And what I realized is, because I went right with the vibrator, I kind of avoided getting to know my vagina. Because the vibrator, it's just easier and it's just quick. It's like the mechanical way to just go for it. Yeah. Where when I had to do it manually, I didn't even know what the fuck I was doing for a little bit. And I remember the night that I started to explore, I was uncomfortable. And it was in college, and I was like awkward about touching my vagina and my labia and all the things and going inside and outside. And it was awkward for me, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
And I remember it was because I was just going through almost like the motions with the vibrator, and I wasn't having to be as in tune with like what I was feeling. Mm-hmm. And so ever since I had that moment where my battery was dead, it made me realize like, wait, if I can get myself off with my hands, the experience is going to be 10 times better. Sure, when I do use a vibrator, but I don't have to rely on it and I'm going to know my body more. So I agree with you. I think if you've never masturbated or even if you went right for a vibrator, I think there's something really fucking great to start back at the beginning with your hands mm-hmm. and lube. And can I ask you, like, I think a lot of people, back to the shame. If you're going to masturbate, there's something like silence is deadly. You're like touching your tits and you're like, this is awkward because you're in your head, right? Mm-hmm. And so something I found that works for me, and I'd love to hear what works for you or you've heard from people, is like, I'm not going to play like fucking music because there's no music that I'm like getting turned on to. I'm not like playing like Lil Wayne, like what the fuck about like Drake, like Rihanna, like bad the bitch. And I'm like slapping my clit, like absolutely not. So what I found is I would find very like porn friendly ASMR, mm-hmm. whether I listen to another girl masturbating while I'm masturbating, so because it's almost like, not like we're doing it together, but it make the noises make me feel like, oh, I'm not alone. Mm-hmm. And you're not, it's almost like they're giving you the okay to like, yeah. And while I'm doing this, you do it. I don't even look at it. I just put it next to my ear. I listen to her masturbating mm-hmm. and I do it by myself. Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's, I think it's great.
Such a good thing. I love that. Yeah. There's also a lot of audio erotica sites mm-hmm. too. There's one like called Dipsy. There's one called Triquin or Quinn, and yep. they're all great. It's an emerging field right now because some people are like, they don't want to watch it, but to hear other people, mm-hmm. the moans. Like, I just like to think about this is when you're in, I talk about like seducing yourself. Think of it being like a full sensory experience. So sometimes like I light my vanilla candle because I love mm. that. Or I have like this stuff, like the, you know, my lube smells really good. And like, what am I tasting? Like maybe you're just like tasting like whatever whatever you're drinking, your yeah. wine. You're feeling your hands on your body. Because whenever your mind is distracted or you're trying to be mindful, because this is a very present experience. When you can think about all five of your senses being on board, like touch, smell, taste, sound, it grounds you in the moment. You can't be tripping and like, is this wrong? Is someone walking in? Am I doing it wrong? And if you can keep circling, like, what am I feeling? What am I smelling? What am I hearing? Then it grounds you back in the moment because you want to keep being like, what am I feeling? What, you know, so that's exactly it though. Like a lot of us do get distracted. So I love that of having something soothing
yeah.
or something hot like that, that isn't too much like I'm watching porn. Now I got to think about her labia. It doesn't look like my labia and I'm distracted.
And I think there's also an eye mask. I always throw an eye mask, or I'll put a fucking pillow over my head. Like, so like you really submerge yourself into this world of like, close your eyes, put on an eye mask. Sometimes I'll put on like a sound machine.
Yeah.
And even if you put your AirPods in and you're listening to the erotica, like you're in this world. Like, yeah. Oh, I've gone there. I'm like in the dark. There's a candle going. Yes. Like let yourself like, cause then it becomes, you become like addicted. You're like, this is so fun. You like want to run home and like go and like masturbate and yeah. get in your zone. It just takes a minute.
No, you got to set the mood for ourselves.
Totally. So now.
You can't go from zero to orgasm.
No, no.
Fuck no.
So now the ladies have gone with the lube. They've gone with their fingers. We're ready to advance. Let's talk sex okay. toys.
This is what we call a bullet. And I know, Alex, you've talked about bullets yep. recently. It's discreet and it has this little silicone sleeve on it, right? And what I love about this is that you got the vibrations and you can hold it in your hand. It's not intimidating. And then you just start to explore. So you start to tease yourself. This is where you could start on your outer thighs, move in, and then just start to drag it over, up and around the clitoris, your labia. Just start teasing. Like, where does it actually feel good? Maybe it's circular motions around your clit. Maybe you're like holding it in one spot. I mean, remember when I say we have 8,000 nerve endings, we get to just kind of, sometimes we get to just like sit on one of the spots and be like, oh, how does that feel? And then it can start to kind of unwind and get bigger where all the sensations are around it. If you guys can follow that. And really you just start to tease and tease. You have to see and you breathe. This is so quiet.
It is.
Because this is great if you have roommates too, I'm just saying. No, because I hate the loud vibrators.
I know.
Everyone knows what you're doing. Okay.
Hopefully you have roommates enough that you're like, peace, I'm going in there. You
and
go in there.
Psyched for you.
God bless you. Have a good orgasm. Me and my friend Lauren used to live together, and we'd both be like, I'm going. She's like, I'm going to. Great. Bye. And exactly. We like go masturbate at the same time. That may be creepy, but like whatever.
Can we normalize living with people who support your orgasms? Yes.
Like get in there. Or Lauren would go and I'd be like, let me know how it goes. And she'd come out and she'd be like, I'm a new woman. I'm like, okay, let's go to the mall.
Exactly. Fucking let's go shopping. Because wait, can we just talk about this fact that none of this is about being a great lover for your partner. It's literally because orgasms give you life.
Yes.
They're part of being sexually healthy. You're like releasing serotonin and dopamine and like it's like a natural antidepressant.
Yes, so you literally feel better.
You literally feel
even in the morning sometimes I'm like, I just need like a little moment to myself. Right. And then my whole day is clearer.
Resets. It's in my shower. I have a vibrator in my shower to remind me to masturbate every day. And not even every day, because every day gets to be a lot. But like most days, haven't done it lately. It's looking at me. I'm like, well, this will take me 3 seconds.
Exactly.
Knock it out. So much better.
Three
the day's
seconds.
Better.
We love that
well,
for you,
five
Emily.
Minutes. I've been doing a long time. Let's say 3 minutes.
Okay, so I actually love that you're doing the motion,
I'm showing
though.
It, but all I'm doing is I'm dragging it around. It's slowly like, you're not really poking it in. You're just like, think about it. These are nerve endings. This is a tiny, like a vibrator that feels really good and just sort of spreading all of the like nerve endings with pleasure. And it feels really great. And why another to normalize vibrators is that like, penis doesn't vibrate. Your fingers don't vibrate. When you have nerve endings as delicious and incredible and expansive as this, you want to do everything that feels good, which is why a lube feels good, which is why a tongue feels good, and why vibrations feel good.
I love that you're clarifying this. So I love also that like we're not even inside the vagina.
Not even going inside.
And you're having an orgasm. The amount of times I masturbate and I don't even go internal.
No.
And I'm just outside. I'm like, I don't even need to go in.
Mostly
there.
I'm not inside unless right? I'm with a partner, because then we can get into the G-spot. But to go internal, you want to first be aroused and turned on, which means sometimes having a clitoral orgasm first. Because once you have a clitoral orgasm, all the blood becomes engorged, meaning all the it starts to swell. So that means your internal part, which is the G spot, or I like to call the G area. It's not really a spot. It was misnamed by a guy who doesn't have one. But it's only like an inch or two inside. It's almost the side of this bullet. So once you're aroused here and turned on, you can go inside and start to kind of poke this area, but it's going to be a lot easier to find it once you fully experience this whole pleasure area.
I think that's great. And just to pause there, like, Daddy Gang, when you are masturbating and you're using the vibrator and you start to have that like clitoral orgasm, I have found that you're right. Then you could then put it inside of you and it's almost like then your climax gets even better because it's like inside you can like feel your vagina throbbing.
Exactly.
And if you put the sex toy in after your, because you can't almost like touch your clit once it gets so sensitive.
Yeah.
That then if you go inside internal, sometimes I'm like done, but it feels good to finish with something inside of you pushing up on your G-spot.
Exactly. You might be more likely to have an orgasm during penetration if you've already, like, because we were just saying like it's not going to happen. I'm not like saying it won't happen, but the reason why it doesn't happen for many is because a lot of times the penis goes right inside and you're like, I didn't even know you were coming over. I didn't even know this happened. I didn't even know you walked in the door. And here you are and you're hard and I'm so not there. And then it hurts sometimes. So I'm saying this is the warm up. And then maybe penetration feels better.
It's like the pregame.
It's
okay,
a pre-game.
Guys? And you know what I love too is I really appreciate you explaining this, because what I think now is so clear is everything you've described. The concept now of a dry penis or like a lightly spit on penis going inside of a woman's vagina and nothing externally has been activated or touch or whatever, why the fuck would we ever have an orgasm?
Right.
How would we have an orgasm? All of the nerves, most of them are outside on the vulva, not inside. So ladies, if you keep writing in being like, I just keep not having an orgasm during sex. Well, are you rubbing your clit? Do you have lube on your vulva? Like, is anything happening externally? No.
Right.
Then that's the first place to start and to readjust.
Yeah.
Because if you can have a great, you may not even have an insane like internal orgasm, but if you're touching yourself or he's touching you on the outside, we're going to have a lot more pleasure.
So much more pleasure. And speaking of externally, let me say this. I think we can all attest to the fact that when it's like slow makeout sesh, it's like kissing your neck, you're making out, your partner like moves his way down your neck, maybe makes it to your nipples. That can also be incredible turn on, and our nipples and our clitoris both send signals to the same part region in our brain responsible for the orgasm. So they're connected. So people can have nipple orgasms, but we can get into that on the next time. But what I'm saying is it's all connected. So a lot of nipple stimulation, a lot of slow kissing, a lot of everything could also start getting you going. So once you get down to the clitoris, yeah, you're moving things along, you know? It's a whole experience.
It's all connected. And I would say to people listening, something I've gotten better at and just being more vocal in the bedroom is like, you've talked about this, that men are like a frying pan.
Yes.
And we're like an oven.
Slow cookers.
Yeah, slow cookers. Like it's quick for them that they can get turned on and it can happen and we need more time. Yeah. And so I think there's something really great to, and it's hot, to if he's like going right for it, you like putting your hand on his chest and be like, I need foreplay.
Yeah.
Like, get down there. Down. Like, it's like slowing it down because you need more time and it's so hot to get yourself worked up and almost like it's like edging during foreplay, yes, of being like, oh my God, now please let's fuck. Like, you want to get to a point where you're like, oh my God, like get inside of me. Like, let's go. Rather than like, how is he already inside of me? Like, I there's not a bone in my body at times that I've been turned on and somehow I find myself having sex. I'm right. Like, what the fuck? Even if it's 3 minutes at least, just playing with the vulva, going at it there. What is the best sex toy recently that you found for couples?
Okay. For couples, I would say,
for me, I'm like, give me a little.
Okay. So the magic wand has been around forever and it is one of the first vibrators that I was ever created. It's almost 50 years old and it used to plug into the wall.
Okay.
And it was a really big toy, right? Like your parents had. It's like your grandmother's vibrator.
It looks like a microphone.
Yeah, it looks like a microphone. It does, actually. But why this is so cool is this has become one of my favorite couple toys because the old ones were way too big. This is just powerful, right? And it doesn't go inside. But what I love is that when you're having sex with a penetration with a partner, that you have it on your clitoris and then they can also have it like on their balls, on their shaft. And so this just feels amazing for both of us.
No, now I'm because like, it feels great
for
it.
Me. Yeah, I brought you one.
Oh, thank you.
I brought you like a select, you'll see.
My boyfriend's going to be like, more of these episodes.
Yeah, exactly.
This
He's
is
like,
great.
Come on. Like, you're getting shoes
I'm
and
coming
stuff.
Home with a huge bag.
Yeah, you like, legit, you are. So, but, and I like this also, but when you're going down on your partner, like, if your penis partner, so they have their perineum or their taint, which is like, taint the balls, taint the ass, that area.
Mm-hmm.
They have something called a prostate, which we'll get into in a bit. But just this toy, even in between there, like if you're giving them a blowjob, like this is just kind of going up on that area and it just can feel really, really great.
I know some men really get nervous about being down for ass play. And I feel like once you can like bridge that gap and you can get in there, the sex is 10 times better. And so I always, whenever I'm using a vibrator, I will use it kind of on my boyfriend too.
Yes.
But I never thought to, while you're giving head, to just hold something.
Because I think it's the big thing. Like, how do I bring a toy into the bedroom with my partner?
Yes.
I'm so nervous. They're going to judge me. They're going to think it's weird. And I actually do think if you're with a partner and you've never done it, it is good to like say something before you get in the bedroom. And you can just be like, hey, I bought these toys today. Or like, I want to talk to you about, I got this really cool new toy that I think would, it feels really good on me, but I can't wait to use it on you. Because there's also this notion that toys are only for women. But I am telling you that just like the penises are going to lap up the lube, they freaking love the vibrations. It feels so good. So just something like this with a little, and I like high settings, but I think for penises at first, you want to do like the lowest setting and you just want to, I brought a penis too. Just so you know.
I love you.
Love you
of
too,
course, babe. If we're going to bring a vulva, we're bringing a penis.
We do not discriminate. So here's their penis, right? And you're going up to him and you're just saying like, let me show, I got this really, so this is not intimidating.
Right.
I got this really cool new toy. And I just want you to feel it. And you've already got the lube in your hand and you just take it and you softly, like you're putting it around their shaft. Maybe your mouth is around their tip and you're just using it on the shaft or you're taking it around their balls and they're like, they're into it.
Well, yeah, I feel like they're on the balls, it feels so good.
The balls, it feels really good.
I don't have
good.
Them, but like I'm feeling it. Like I'm like, I can feel that. I mean, we know what it feels like on us.
Yeah.
So who doesn't like a light vibration tingling?
Exactly.
Like you're getting a fucking massage.
you're getting a massage and you're getting attention and you're wet enough because you got lube in your hand.
Right.
So you're, and here's the other thing about blowjobs. You definitely want a blowjob to be, you want to be wet enough. Like right. you have to be wet enough. And sometimes our mouth, is, we can't do enough saliva.
Totally.
Sometimes you just don't have it. Even if you water by the bed.
Totally.
So just to always have lube. So you're given a blowjob, but remember your hands are a big part of a blowjob. You don't have to like choke on it unless you want to.
Yes.
You have no pressure to do it, but you want enough grip. You want enough wetness. You want enough enthusiasm and being into it, right? Enough pressure. So you can use your hand for the pressure. You can have a little vibrator going around or on the outside cheek of your mouth to help like, yeah, that's
another. Emily, hold on. So you're giving head.
I love
I
this.
I never yeah. thought of this. Yeah. This is the fucking expert. You're welcome. Ladies, you're welcome.
Are we done?
Like, we're done. You're welcome. I've never tried that. I'm going to try that now. Yes. And I think that when you're giving head, I love also kind of venturing down like lightly on the balls. Everyone's always like, what do I do with the balls? Get some lube on them and like lightly take the vibrator and mm-hmm. go in. And then you can put it a little underneath and go on the taint, the
exactly,
whole thing.
Exactly, the whole thing. And a lot of people, like again, when you are with a penis, that not everyone likes their balls touched. So you just want to be very mm-hmm. gentle with it. Mm-hmm. You want to like, how does this feel? Like it's okay to check in and like ask, like, does yep. that feel good?
Okay, if someone feels very confident in the bedroom with their partner and with masturbating and using sex toys, what is like an advanced move with a sex toy that you can recommend for someone that's like, yeah, we're doing all the basics. Like, we've been kind of like, you know, like I'll lightly do it. Like, or is there not an
advanced? We're talking about heterosexual couple? Mm-hmm. We're talking about, okay.
Sure.
Okay. All right, well. Like,
what are you up to over there?
So a cock ring. Does everyone know what a cock ring is?
Of course.
So, yeah, the reason why, like, cock rings are great for partners. That's what I always kind of recommend. So we talked about some of the wearable ones fall off. Mm-hmm. The reason why cock rings are great when they vibrate is because, so this, for example, goes around the base of the penis, okay?
Okay.
So there you go. Then, so your partner's wearing this on their penis. Remember, they like the vibrations. Mm-hmm. This turns on and it vibrates. You're coming in, right? You're having sex. So this is your, right? Oh. So what happens is, you're going in, penis going, can we all see this? These have these like little rabbit ears on it, right?
Wow.
So these are vibrating. So this feels good on his penis. And for some men who maybe have a challenge staying harder or longer, which happens, They have an erection, they lose the erection. This is going to keep their erection. And then these little things vibrate, these little nubs, and they sort of go right up there. This is like on the clitoris and they sort of tease all around the nerve endings. And it feels amazing. So this is a great couple story because it's literally fun for
you know what
everybody.
I just realized? I remember in a past relationship, I tried a cock ring and I was like, it's not working. But I realized it was because the sex, he was going fully out, fully in. And so it was like, I wasn't even feeling it. I think when you do a cock ring, the best way to have sex with it is them to go inside. And when you tell them like you're feeling the stimulation, it's more of just like a light in and out. And it's like, oh, not like fucking soaking yeah. here. We're like, but do you know what I mean? It's like light movement in and out rather than like a full situation coming in and out because you want to keep it there and you want to feel that and consistently kind of.
Right. We're saying anti-jackhammer.
Yeah. Usually anti-jackhammer till we die. Like we don't
no
never really need it. But that, okay. So that's what we're trying.
So you see this part. So these are like amazing. So if your partner's going like this, they can be going inside you. They're feeling great. But this little nubs here are going all up in your clitoris. They're massaging the labia yep. and you're just getting. So if you're going like that, no. Because we also need the consistent stimulation. So
love it.
That's really fun.
What is that other orange thing?
Okay, so this is another thing. This is for penises as well. This one I know is called the Soul. And this is a masturbation sleeve. Okay, so this is great too. If you are with a penis in your life, you could so I'm also saying you have a lot of guys listening, like
right.
up your masturbation routine, like you don't just need your hand, right? So this also vibrates. So I love this, like with my partner. So for example, penis again. Add some lube to here and it vibrates. So it's like a masturbation sleeve, right? So it's like it's called a sleeve, like a vibrating stroker or a sleeve. I like sleeve better.
Right.
So it's going around there, it's vibrating. I could still just be like licking the tip, massaging right. the tip. But first off, also, it's way less work. And I never want people to think, blowjob. It's a job. I want to make it way less of a job and make it fun.
I could see myself using this. I'm like, because I'm trying to be very realistic. I'm like, when would I use that? I could see myself using that during 69. My boyfriend's eating me out and I put that on his dick and then I'm just like licking the top.
Right.
And then I guess since the front of the shaft is open, you can be like kind of licking down and licking the tip, but keep that shit on there. There you go. All your work is done.
You're literally, I'm making your life so much easier. Your work is done.
I love that so much.
I'm so excited. It's fun. And also I want to go back to this one too, or any of these rings, any of these toys. My prediction that is in a few years, most toys are going to be gender-free, genderless, yeah. Because we're saying that nerve endings feel good at everybody, even if this is not your penis, and this is your own, you could put this on your fingers and use it on your clitoris. So like get creative.
How do you think masturbating in front of your partner can be a fun thing incorporated into your sex life? Because I feel like, I'll be real, college or whatever, I would have been too insecure to actually focus on it. I would be doing it performatively and like not actually focusing. Like how do we incorporate this into foreplay?
I think that mutual masturbation is one of the hottest things that you can do with a partner. What I love about mutual masturbation for couples is that it's a sure thing because you're both going to get off. If you're masturbating yourself and they're masturbating themselves, you know what you're doing and you're going to get off. But also, it's really hot. It's kind of like a twofer because there's different ways to do it. Hopefully, you've gotten past that you're going to hide the fact that you masturbate, because that's the other thing. Side note is people think, I'll talk to some people about masturbation. They're like, oh, I don't need to. I have a partner. And it's like, no, you actually need to continue to do it when you're with a partner, because it's the connection to yourself. It's you're continuing to learn your own body. It's self-care.
Well, yeah. Can you expand on that a little bit?
I will.
If someone is in a relationship and their partner is like frustrated that they're masturbating, they find out they're masturbating. Like, what is our sex life not good enough? Tell us.
Okay, so because this is another really big question I get asked all the time and I hear it from everybody. Mostly I hear it from women who are with men and they're like, why does my partner have to masturbate? We're having the best sex of our life. Like, I don't understand why he needs that. He's watching porn. He didn't clear his browser history. What he was watching does not look like me. And I think, again, it goes back to all the misinformation that sex, the best sex happens when a penis goes into a vagina with your monogamous partner and there's nothing else involved and you both have incredible orgasms. And, you know, we've already covered the fact that is not realistic and that doesn't work. So I think this notion that like they're masturbating because maybe you're not satisfying them is another one. Like, oh, I must not be doing something enough that my partner had to go seek out porn. But a healthy masturbation practice is part of being sexually healthy overall, because it is self-connection, you're learning about your body. And again, we talked about all those feel-good hormones that are actually really good for our skin. Yeah. It's good for our mood. It's good for stress relief, all the reasons. So just like, let's normalize that your partner's going to masturbate and you should be masturbating too. Yeah. And if you're in a relationship with a partner, what I love about mutual masturbation is that you can just kind of say, hey, let's try something together. Hopefully, maybe you have got some toys you like or you've talked about it. You could just say, I think it'd be so hot to watch you like get off. Would you be into it? So then, and I'm going to admit to you guys that a lot of this might be awkward at first. So sex is fun and funny and awkward and messy and things happen and like that's all okay. Be with a partner you can laugh with. Okay, so you're laying back. You got that all the way. Everyone feels good about that. And then you're like, okay, I'm going to touch myself and you're going to touch yourself. We're going to start with that form. So first off, it's a twofer, because now I'm looking at my partner and I'm going, wow, I didn't know that when he's masturbating, his hand's going up and around and over the tip. Interesting. So the next time I'm touching him, I'm definitely going to go up and around and over the tip, because he likes a tip and that's how he strokes. Like, it is literally his owner's manual. And it's like, okay, I will never not give you a blowjob or handjob again without doing that move. That's your move. That's the pace you're going at. That's where your finger is. It's like,
learning what hacking. They like by letting them do it themselves.
It's like a dick hack. I'm hacking like what he's doing, right?
Well, because I think a lot of people must wonder, like, how does how does your partner get off? Like, right. what are they doing in their alone moments?
Right.
And that doesn't mean that what you're doing is wrong, but it's fun to be like, oh, that's what he likes. My boyfriend always wants to watch me masturbate right. because so, he's like, I want to be able to do that to you when I'm doing it to you.
Exactly. So then they watch you, yeah. right? Which, let's be honest, the vagina, it's like the Rubik's Cube of life. Yeah. Like, a guy sits down, he's like, I don't fucking know. Like, my last partner wanted fingers inside and you want this tapping and she wanted a yeah. hurricane and I don't know what the fuck to do. So why not just be like, let's like do this early on in a relationship. Yeah. So then he's watching you, right? And you're like, I know, like, for me, like, I'm always like applying pressure to my pubic mound. I have my fingers in certain ways. He notices that I'm not always sticking my fingers inside right away. So he's just like, oh, that, like, I love this one too. This is a new one. It's called The Dot by Lalo because it has all these little tips in it that help you, like, explore the different nerve endings specifically. But let's say I'm using this because I use my toy with a partner. Like, yep. I always. And then now, not only does he know how to use it with me, but I'm, like, just showing him, like, these are the areas that I'm focusing on because I learned during my masturbation sessions alone that this is what I need. So then I'm showing him all these areas. And then it's like, so again, the twofer part is that it's educational and then it's hot. Because I'm like, that's so hot that you're doing that and I'm doing this. And then sometimes you switch hands and, like, let me help you. And it's a fucking masturbation party.
Let's talk about orgasms. What if someone is sitting here listening, being like, I'm so excited to try this. I've tried it a couple times, but they're unsure if they have ever had an orgasm.
It's a really common question. Yeah. If you don't think that you've ever had an orgasm, you probably haven't. Because let me tell you this. We didn't mention the orgasm gap yet, that most penis owners are going to take 6 to 8 minutes to orgasm. And if you have a vulva, it's going to take you 20 to 40 minutes to orgasm. That's with a partner. Now, with a vibrator, it might be 10 minutes. It might be 12 minutes. So I just want to normalize the fact that if you are new to this and a lot of us are impatient and we want a quick fix, it's going to take you some time. So when people call or email the show and they're like, oh, I've never had one, da, 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 it's like, I'm always like, have you tried? Oh, yeah, I tried. I tried for like a minute or two once or three times. No. You need to full on commit to your, it's a workout routine. I mean, I have a friend in college and she was like, she went away on this internship. I'll never forget this. And she was still one of my best friends to this day. But she was like, I'm going to have an orgasm by the end of the month. She had a 30-day internship. And every single night for 30 days, she just like hunkered down. She did not have a vibrator. And she's like, I'm going to figure it out. And she didn't have one the first week. And she didn't have one the second week. But in the third week, she finally figured it out. And she had she was patient. That's patience,
that is
too.
Patience.
Like, I don't even know that I had that patience. Like, I grabbed my toy. Like, right. And to this day, she's still one of the most multi-orgasmic friends I have. And she just like took the time. So I would just encourage everybody to, like, if you haven't had one, the good news here is that there's a very small percentage of women who can't have an orgasm. Most women are not anorgasmic, they're pre-orgasmic. You just haven't had one yet. You just haven't really taken the time to do this work with lube, toys, your fingers, and time devoted to yourself to figure it out.
Thank you. Honestly, thank you.
You're not broken.
Get in there and make it a fucking mission. And don't put so much pressure on yourself. But it's like, eventually you're going to figure it out. But you can't figure it out if you're not fucking trying. Mm-hmm. I really appreciate that.
And I want to remind people that the goal, if you can go in mindfully with the goal of exploration and curiosity and not the goal of orgasm at the beginning, and just like, I just want to see what feels good, you'll find that when you take the pressure off and you focus on your breath and you're like noticing what feels good, that you're more likely to have your orgasm that way.
Okay, I have a question from a listener. I've never had an orgasm with my partner, but I've been faking it. I can orgasm solo and would love to be able to orgasm with my partner, but we definitely need to make some big adjustments, obviously. How do I bring up this convo considering they think that I've had an orgasm nearly every time we have sex and I've never had one during sex?
It's a great question. And it's common. Mm-hmm. So relatable. Mm-hmm. Come on. We've all faked orgasms. I believe we can say that here. Mm-hmm. So first, you want to have a conversation with your partner outside the bedroom. I have my 3 T's of communication: timing, tone, and turf. I think this is very important for all the things we're talking about. That, just remember this, your timing is when you are chilling. You're not halt, hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, and you're just like, maybe you're at a date night. The next one is your tone. Again, it's curious, it's open, it's receptive, it's not judgmental, it's not angry. And then the TERF, believe it or not, is outside the bedroom. You do not want to have conversations about your, when you're already in a sexually heightened state. So the bedroom, leave it for sleeping and sex. Do it when you're out walking the dog, you're on a road trip. I love the road trip part because you don't have to make eye contact, but you're still driving because it's fucking awkward. And then you just say, hey, you know, babe, I would love to talk about our sex life. And I just want to tell you that. And then you got to start with our, my compliment sandwich is always like, it's like advice nestled between two really wonderful compliments, uh-huh. right? Like, you're like, hey, babe, I've been thinking about the sex we're having. And like, that was so hot the other night. You know, I loved the way that you were slowly like kissing my neck and we were slowly, and you were going down on me and it felt so great. God, I love oral sex. And I realized that I have been doing, they could say they were listening to Alex. They could say, you, people say this all the time, like, blame sex with Emily. Like, yeah. I don't care. I realize that I get really close to orgasm and it feels really, really good. But I'm not sure that I'm quite there to the point where I, that I want to be. Right. And I feel like I make the motions and the sounds, but I don't think I've quite had an orgasm in the way that I would love to explore with you. And then you close that out by saying, because I think if we could figure out together how I could have like this explosive, incredible orgasm, that our sex life will go to the next level and we'll both be incredibly satisfied.
It's like they're going to be like so turned on that you are like thinking about this and yeah. wanting to build and make it better.
I mean, and honestly, if they're like, no, that's not your partner, they just did you a favor. But what you're doing here is you're enrolling them and it's about both of you. It's not like you aren't doing this. Why aren't you giving me orgasm? It's like, you know what? I've realized that if we slow down and do it together, like, wow, imagine what we could discover. Won't that be fun? Your partner wants to please you.
Right. We're going to end a little bit on some anal play. I think Perfect. A lot of women have been asking me, like, I'm really wanting to go in there, but I'm terrified of, like, is my nail going to hurt them? Am I going to hurt them? How do I go about it? Can you give us, like, a little quick crash course
yeah.
on if a woman is going or anyone is going towards the butthole, mm-hmm. what are we doing?
Towards the male butt. Towards the
yes.
Male. Okay, well, here's the exciting thing. I love this question. Is that men have a prostate. Mm-hmm. Women do not have a prostate. A prostate is kind of like the G-spot. Mm-hmm. So they have this incredible little area inside of their anus, about 2 inches inside. In fact, you find it similar to how you find a G-spot. And it's inside. And when you use a finger or a toy, which I have the toys, Alex.
Please show us.
I got butt plugs. I got this prostate toy. So what you want to do is you use lots of lube. So here's the other thing. Your anus has very thin tissue. So when you go in there, you've got to make sure there's another reason to always have lube, okay? It's not going to lubricate itself. And then you want to start slow. You don't want to, just like we don't want anyone to go right inside of us, you want to start using your fingers with some lube on it outside of their anus because there's a lot of outside their butthole. There's nerve endings out there at the outside. You could start with your fingers, lightly, like just sort of massaging it. And then you can try it with the finger. However, the nails, it's real. Like for a while, I would right. take a nail down, but I was like, oh, it's so annoying. I like to use toys.
Okay.
Or you can use a condom over your finger and you could put some cotton balls in it and you could like wrap it around and you could like,
but it's like it's
or a glove. I mean, it's actually a glove. You could use a glove.
I'm like, hold on, babe.
That's what people, but no one's going to, let's be honest.
It's like, no.
You're not going to use a glove. So but you have to be careful with your fingers. So I would just say, unless you have really, really short nails and your nails have to always be trimmed and they have to be clean and all the things, I would just recommend a toy like a butt plug. This one's actually a little bit bigger. This one's a little bit smaller. It's a prostate toy. And you just like slowly would like go inside. And first you have to consent. Like, yeah. Is this okay with you? Do you, you know, but I think when you are doing that on the outside of their butthole and you're kind of experimenting, you can kind of put a little bit of finger in and just mm-hmm. see how does that feel. And you'll know if your partner is like, oh, it feels good. Or if he's like, what are you doing? I don't mm-hmm. want anything on my ass. But let me just say, side note, is that what makes me sad mm-hmm. is that the majority of men, people with a penis, can have the most incredible pleasure when they allow themselves to be penetrated with a toy, a finger, a dildo, or something because of this prostate. And the reason they don't is because of this notion that they're afraid that it's going to somehow define their sexual orientation. Well, I thought that gay men do that, and I am not gay. I think it's somehow effeminate. I don't know what they're thinking, but all I'm saying is, like, guys, do yourself a service. Like, you have this amazing gem in your ass. Go find it. Like, what are you waiting for? Life is short.
Right.
Life is hard right now, too. Yes. Like, shit's going down in the world. I'm like, if guys were all just finding their fucking prostate and having orgasms, like, we would be a lot happier.
It's such a good point because you're like, find that gem in your asshole, okay? It's almost like our clit is their prostate.
Exactly.
And oh, my, like, God. Right?
And they have orgasms that way. And sometimes they have to be erect. Like, it's separate from the penis because you can be, like, you could be using the stroker on their penis and they could have something in their ass. And I'm just telling you, like, they have to lie back and they have to breathe. Just a matter of exploring. And again, if your partner's like, hell no, you can just say, you know, I've learned these things that maybe it might feel good. Right. You want to relax. I won't judge you. And then I've found, again, most men who try it out are like,
whoa.
Love this.
I'm curious. Like, so you start with the finger, and I agree with you, rubbing around, even like lightly, like pulsing up on it, but not even going inside. That's really great because you're like kind of pushing up into that prostate area, but you're still external.
Oh, you mean like when I was talking about using the taint mm-hmm, area? Yeah, because mm-hmm. you're indirectly stimulating the prostate that way.
Yes. My question is with the sex toy, what position do you recommend the guy be in when you're going about this?
It's a great question. I think that it helps if they're on their back. I love the position of them being on their back. Maybe there's a pillow underneath them to kind of elevate them. And then we're sitting on the bed and maybe like my legs would be like wrapped around them, right? So I'm sort of cupping them and my legs are maybe over their thighs mm-hmm. Or their thighs could be over mine. And so then you've easier access to kind of go in that way. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And this is where my heart goes out to guys. And I know that we love men. We like, it's just totally. Like, they don't know, like no one ever educated them, like how we didn't know, but also like giving them permission just to like, they always have to be in charge in many ways. If you're with a woman, guys are like, I've got to know how to give her orgasm and I have to always be hard and I have to always be in charge. But sometimes guys lose their erections. Yeah. They had an erection, they came before they wanted to. This kind of gives them permission to be like, it doesn't really matter what your dick's doing right now. Right. We can kind of like go in, and then usually you'll find that they'll get an erection but it's a separate area. It's like a separate part of pleasure. So the penises can be involved or not involved.
For a couple, I'm curious if they have had, they love each other, you know, they've got great vibes, but specifically their sex life has just been like not going well. And they've tried things like, let's try to like go away on a weekend or spice it up or what would you encourage people that feel like they're in this like rut with their sex life because they're like with this long-term partner? Like, what do we do?
Okay. Well, first, love this question. Let's just normalize that's going to happen in every relationship, mm-hmm. that there's going to come a point where the honeymoon phase ends and you've been together from 6 months to 2 years and the newness and the novelty and the excitement and all the things that draw, you know, you had never seen this person naked before. You had never done 69 before. Like, it's just new and exciting. That's going to change. But here's the thing. It is not a quick fix. It is never going to be a quick fix. Most couples get to the point that you're asking. It's no longer hot. You're not ripping each other's clothes off anymore. You like fake sleep so you don't have to have, you know, sex. It's because we haven't talked about it. We haven't talked about it in a meaningful way. So the first step is communication. And it's, again, outside the bedroom. And you'd say to your partner, you know, I love our relationship. I love our sex life. It's been so hot. And I think we could both agree that lately it just hasn't been as much. And we haven't been doing as much. You've been so busy. I've been traveling. Like, I just want to acknowledge that. And your partner will say, yeah, I know. It feels like you're so tired at night. Things are happening. You're like, I'm wondering if you'd like to kind of like, we could have some fun together and try to figure out like, what can we do together to like prioritize our pleasure and make it really hot? Like, would you be down with that? And hopefully your partner's going to say, yeah, what do you think? What can we do? So then I have a few tools because I know talking about sex is awkward. Here's the easiest one. Let's talk about the most memorable time we've had sex, okay? So what's the most, and you could even say like, let's each write down the three most memorable times in swap lists. So first you're going to look at that list and you're going to realize, wow, like that was hot too. I totally forgot about that time we were in the Bahamas and the, usually it's on vacation. Mm-hmm. A lot of these things like, and like someone almost walked into our room, like the bellman almost walked in, but there we were and under the palm trees and we just had a few pina coladas and, or, you know, maybe it was just because you hadn't looked at your phone all day. Like there's a lot of information. I call it your sexual DNA that you can decode from the hottest times. Or maybe it was the time that your partner surprised you, came home from work, threw you against the wall, had a new vibrator for you, you know, or did something to you that was amazing. Or maybe they surprised you with that bag you wanted. And like, it was that fucking surprise. Like, I had my eyes on that purse and you came in and that was the best sex of my life. So every time we look at information, self-knowledge, again, one of the pillars of sex IQ is like, oh, I know that these things turn me on. The how we can become sexually more intelligent is knowing what actually turns me on. It's different for me than it might be for you. And sometimes it starts with what turns me off. So I realize, babe, we've been together a while and all the things that I think turn me on are, well, first, I need to be outside the house. We need to go away for a night. We need to do something different. We have not left this house in a year. So of course I don't want to bang you, or 6 months. We haven't gotten a sitter for the kids. Again, you're not broken. There's nothing wrong with you. It could be your hormones. It could be a lot of other things. Your partner didn't change. But to know that since we are slow cookers and your partner, or since we are slow cookers and your partner's a frying pan, how can I optimize my environment and my sex life so I know that more often than not, I'm going to want to have sex? So for me also, I need to, after work, I can't go from like work mode where I'm in my mask in all day to sex. So I'm like, I take a bath. I take a steam shower. I do some breathing, and then that gets me in the mood for sex. Does this make sense? So yes.
I think it's huge to also talk about this. I think specifically, you know, a lot of women, I feel like we take our cues because that's just like the world we've lived in and been raised around from the man. And so whatever, like he's kind, however he's initiating it or whatever, you're like, this is supposed to be how it goes. And it's like you finding the things that make you turned on and want to have sex are going to be different than most people around you. Like everyone has their customizable format of what gets them turned on. And so you may have a complete different list of things than your partner. That's good to know because you now know how to please your partner. He should know how to please you. And I think it's just an underrated thing that you're talking about that's really smart of like, don't just like make it a thing of like, we have to, let's have sex. It's like, hold on. Well, why would we have sex right now? Like, you haven't touched me all day. Like, we haven't had good conversation lately. Like, or you didn't spontaneously, like, you know the things I like.
Exactly.
So being mindful of each other's turn-ons and arousal styles, I think can actually really elevate relationships that if you're feeling in a rut, I mean, Emily, it's mm-hmm. so helpful. I feel like we just kind of did a great crash course for like people in relationships and also our single ladies who yeah. are like, I don't know if I've had an orgasm. I don't know what I'm doing over here. I want to have a good time. Like, I can't thank you enough for coming on because I feel like there's times where there's little segments and we rush through this. And I'm sure, again, through your work and my work, I do see a lot of consistent questions.
Yes.
And I was happy to sit down with you and just have like a long, thoughtful conversation that like, if anything, I hope people are like, you gave us too much detail.
Yeah.
Great. Daddy gang. From now on out, know your arousal style. If you're in a relationship, we're making that, where did you fuck last? That was the hottest for you. Make that list. And for all the women that haven't put in the work for yourself, time to start masturbating.
Mm-hmm.
Time to have a goddamn orgasm on your own time. But like, get in there and don't feel shamed and don't feel awkward. Like we said, turn off the lights, have a good time. Like, I want everyone to DM me that hasn't had an orgasm. DM me when you have it. And I promise yeah. you, if you take these steps that Emily shared with us today, mm-hmm. like this is going to get you way closer to enjoying that
Absolutely.
Time with yourself.
It will.
Emily, it's been too long. I really appreciate you. I love you so much. Thank you so much for coming on. And thank you for bringing your vulva and your penis.
Oh my God, dude, all the things. I wanted to help your people. Alex, I love being here. I'm so proud of you. This is so awesome. And we're helping so many people with this show.
I love you. I love you.
Love you too.